And I want to go to the first verse, take my text from the first verse of Job chapter number 30. There the Bible says, "But now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock." Notice, if you will, those first words of Job chapter number 30, where the Bible says, "But now they that are younger than me, than I, have me in derision." But now they that are younger than I have me in derision. I want to preach for a little while on this subject, a disrespected elder. Now Job, in chapter number 29, he reminisced, as it might be said, about the way it used to be. He longed, I believe, for the good old days in his life in which there was great respect for Job, and God blessed Job in so many ways. Then there came this great change where he went into the captivity of Satan, and there were the great attacks of Satan against him. We have there in the near the end of the book, the last chapter, this idea, "I shall die in my nest." And I believe that many a person has thought, "I'll die in my nest." I believe that many a person has made some preparation, has prepared a nest, has made a nest more and more comfortable for themselves, and thought to themselves, "I'll die in my nest." And yet that was not the way life turned out. In the case of Job, he may have thought things were pretty well set. He'd just go on through the rest of his life. He'd live a long time, and then he would die in his nest. But there was so much trouble that came into his life, and he may have called into question whether he would really die in his nest or not. Would he die in a comfortable home with a comfortable situation? Would he die in an ash heap, scraping the sores upon his body? He might have wondered himself, how was he going to die at this particular point? Then we have the scripture there, beginning in verse number 1 of chapter 30, where Job spoke about how it was, how things had changed. The Bible says it begins with the words, "But now." Things had changed so much in his life. "But now. They that are younger than I have me in derision." And so we might think about Job, a man that was once highly respected. Of course, a great man of God, and still a great man of God. And yet there have been so many circumstantial changes that many people had come to the point they did not have the respect that they had for him in the past. In verses 1 through 14, we might consider the age of some of those that disrespected Job, and the character of the fathers of some of those that disrespected Job. Now, verse number 1, "But now they that are younger than I have me in derision." And so think of Job being disrespected by ones that were younger than him. The word derision, consider laughing at with scorn or contempt, mocking, scoffing at. And so think about young people, people that were younger than he, having him in derision, "whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock." Now, Job did not say here, it does not seem that there was an indication that he was speaking about ones that he would put in a place of leadership or a place that was over his flock, overseers over his flock. But he even said here that he would have disdained to have set them with the dogs of his flock. And then beginning with verse number 2. "Yea, whereto might the strength of their hands profit me, in whom old age is perished?" Now I believe he was asking his friends, whereto? The word whereto we might consider how or to what end. Whereto might the strength of their hands profit me? Now, as a man that had a number of animals to care for and so on, it may have been that having extra hands could have been a great help to him. in the way it was before, he might have had a number of people that did help him in the feeding of the animals and the caring for the animals and the caring for the place. And so he may have employed a number of people and been glad to have a number of people to help him in the great work that he had. And yet here he says, yea, whereto might the strength of their hands profit me? And so I believe he's referring to those that were spoken about before. And sometimes some people are not much help. Sometimes there might be a person that could do something to help you. There might be a person that's got a mental ability and physical ability, and yet they are so sorry, they are so worthless, they are really not much help to you. Instead, they are a hindrance to you. And I believe this is the kind of people that Job was speaking about, people that had low character, very low character. And so, what about the strength of their hands? How would the strength of their hands have profited him in whom old age was perished? I find those words interesting. In whom old age was perished. Perished, I believe, before dying. We might think about some that are dead while they live. In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 5, and this is in contrast to a widow, that it was a widow indeed, one that trusted God, continued in supplication and prayers night and day. Verse number 6 of 1 Timothy chapter number 5 states this, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And I think that Job may have been talking about the kind of people that they were dead while they lived. Notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 3. For want and famine, they were solitary, fleeing into the wilderness in former time, desolate and waste, who cut up mallows by the bushes and juniper roots for meat. And I believe very basically the idea of living off the land. Verse number 5, the Bible says, they were driven forth from among men. They cried after them as after a thief. Driven from among men. And it might have been that they were beggar types, people that were not productive in society, and they were driven from among men. Then notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 6, to dwell in the cliffs of the valleys, in caves of the earth, and in rocks. Among bushes they brayed, under the nettles they were gathered together. And so I believe people that were living a somewhat animal-like existence. Then verse number 8, the Bible says, they were children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth. And so descendants of fools, descendants of base men. Sometimes there can be generations of people that they don't have a great initiative to work. They don't have a great desire to produce. And sometimes you may have that generational poverty where there are people that they're sorry. And I think in this case, these are the kind of people. They were vile people. They were base people. And think about their children. Their children deriding Job. Their children holding Job in disdain, having mocking him or scoffing at him. Then, verse number 9, and now I am their song. Yea, I am their byword. There might have been some little songs written about Job by this time. They may have been singing little songs about Job, and the scripture says, my byword. The word byword, you might think about a proverb. You might think about a common saying. And in our day, we may think about the patience of Job. In that day, they may have looked deridingly at Job and had some use his name as a byword. Then notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 10. They abhor me, they flee far from me, and spare not to spit in my face. Imagine people, on the one hand, abhorring Job, fleeing far from Job, but while in the presence of Job, sparing not to spit in his face, beginning with verse number 11, because he hath loosed my cord and afflicted me, they have also let loose the bridle before me. So, here I believe the Bible speaks about what God had done. God having loosed his cord and afflicted him. And because of what God had done, they, these people, had let loose the, verse number 11, they also have let loose the bridle before me. And so think about a person just letting an animal go, where instead of a person walking alongside of an animal, instead just letting it go, and where once they may have had great respect for Job, and once they might have had association with Job, imagine people just letting him go, so to speak, just leaving him to himself. And I believe that most people have probably done that. Most people have probably just let Job go. Then the Bible says, beginning of verse number 12, upon my right hand rise the youth. They push away my feet, and they raise up against me the ways of their destruction. They mar my path. They set forward my calamity. They have no helper. They came upon me as a wide breaking in of waters. In the desolation, they rolled themselves upon me. Now, notice here, the Bible says, upon my right hand rise the youth. Way back up in verse number 1. But now they that are younger than I have me in derision. He spoke about the youth, they push away my feet. And it may have had the idea of pushing his feet out of the pathway, pushing him out of the way. The scripture says there, and they raise up against me the ways of their destruction. And so, think about them being against him. Verse 13, they mar my path. They set forward my calamity. And then, they have no helper. They have no helper. I don't know that this was a thing where there was someone that was organizing this and telling them to go against Job. But imagine youth just feeling as though that they had the right, they had the freedom, that they could come against this man, this elder, this man that had once been so highly respected, so highly regarded by others, the youth. Then notice what the Bible says. Verse number 14, they came upon me as a wide breaking in of waters. In the desolation, they rolled themselves upon me. Imagine a great wave of water. The youth coming against Job is a great wave of water. They're being like a wave rolling over him. Now the youth, there had once been that respect of Job, not only by those that were young, but by those that were old as well. And yet now, they had turned against him. Job chapter number 19, look back there if you will. Job chapter number 19, and beginning with verse number 13. The Bible says, he hath put my brethren far from me, mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my body. Imagine pleading with his wife for his children's sake. Verse number 18, yea, young children despise me. I rose, and they spake against me. Young children spoke against Job. The Bible says, verse 19, All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. But I think one of the things that really hurt Job was the fact that he was disrespected by the youth. Here we got this whole section. And imagine the youth disrespecting Job. Now, first of all, it is good in a society if there is a respect for the elderly. It's good in a society if there's just generally a respect for the elderly. In Leviticus chapter number 19 and verse number 32, the Bible says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord." It is good if there is a respect for the elderly in a society, generally speaking. That's just the way people view the elderly, in a respectful way. And of course, there's more to it than just that, but still, I think about people just generally having a respect for the elderly. Look in chapter number 32. Chapter 32. After the three friends had spoken, and then Job had spoken, there's one more that spoke. The Bible talks about Elihu. Elihu spoke, and notice beginning with verse number 4 what the Bible says. Now, Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. Then notice, if you will, verse number 6. And Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, "I am young, and you are very old. Wherefore, I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion." Now, I believe it's good if there is this respect. And in that case, this man held back his opinion until those that were older than him had spoken. One of the signs of a sinking society is when there is a disrespect of the elderly. When the elderly are discounted, when the elderly are looked upon as if they are useless or worthless in society, that is a dangerous thing. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 3, and in Isaiah 3, the Scripture tells about the taking away of men. You might say the pillars of a society. Isaiah chapter number 3, and beginning with verse number 4, "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them." Isaiah 3 and verse number 5, "The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, the base against the honorable." Isaiah 3 verse number 12, "As for my people, children are their oppressors." It's a dangerous thing in a society when the children are in leadership. It's a dangerous thing in a home when the children are in leadership. It's a dangerous thing in a home and a society when the elderly are not respected as they ought to be respected. Once again, that verse, Isaiah 3, 4. "I will give children to be their princes. Babes shall rule over them." That's God speaking. God said that. That's a judgment against a nation. When God starts letting the children run things. The Bible said as well, "The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient." That's a sign of the judgment of God in a nation. When the children are disrespectful to the elderly. And so I believe it is good if there's just, generally speaking, in a society, a respect for the elderly. That's one of the reasons why I think it is good to teach children, young people, to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. It's a very simple way to teach a child, a young person, to respect adults and respect the elderly. Even when an adult, a younger adult, speaks to an older person, then I think it would be a good way to show some respect. Yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Somebody might say, well, that's demeaning, that's debasing. Somebody might say that's regional, that's just something they do in the South. I believe it ought to be nationwide. There ought to be a showing of respect to the elderly. But in a society, that's going downhill. You may find less and less of that. Proverbs chapter number 20 and verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. Now, number two. It is good if the elderly act respectfully. When it comes to the laws of a land, if the people that are in charge want us to respect the law, they need to give us respectable laws and respectable law enforcers. When laws are ridiculous, and if law enforcement does not enforce law properly, if there's a wrong attitude, it can make it harder for those that are supposed to respect the law to respect the law. In the realm of the elderly are to act respectably. And if the elderly don't act respectfully, then sometimes it can make it much harder for those that are supposed to show them respect to show them the respect that they should. And sometimes you may find that a person that is elderly acts in such a way, it does not help at all for people to show them respect. Proverbs 16:31 says this, "The hoary head," think of the gray hair, "the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." That's a big if. If. If it be found in the way of righteousness. There is a sense in which the gray hair, which should be a crown, it can actually bring ridicule to an individual. You may have heard the old saying, "There's no fool like an old fool." And you may see a person sometimes, they're old enough to know better. They're old enough to do some of the things they do and say some of the things they say. And therefore you have this contrast. You have the gray hair, which should show that a person has experience and a person has gotten wisdom. And on the other hand, you may find them displaying foolish things. Well, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Listen to this quotation. "An old man who is still ignorant of those truths which he might have learned, but has neglected to gather, or who is addicted to dishonorable indulgences which he has had time to conquer but has not subdued, or who yield to unbeautiful habits of the spirit which he should long ago have expelled from his nature and his life, or who has not yet returned unto that divine Father who has been seeking and calling him all his days, such an old man with his gray hairs wears a crown of dishonor rather than a crown of glory." What a shame it is that so many old people are still living in their sin. They are still teaching others to sin. They are not living lives of wisdom. They're not showing forth the experience they should be showing forth. It is so good for a person to remember his Creator in the days of his youth and to keep on living for God and living for God, keeping the commandments of God, doing the whole duty of God during his life, so that when he gets older, he has lived his life for the Lord. Psalm 71, verse number 18. "Now also I, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." I believe it'd be a good goal for all of us to desire that in our lifetimes, and as there are so many things that can be beneficial in life, but experience that is seen through the Word of God, experience can be so helpful in life. I know The Bible talks about not a novice. And when it comes to a man that's a preacher, for instance, he may learn some things very early along. He may learn some precious truths. He may preach some powerful things early along in his life. But you don't get experience quickly. It takes time to get that experience. And that experience can make so much of a difference. Now here we might think about the fact it's not only good in a society for there to be respect shown to the elderly, but it is good for the elderly to act respectably. If the elderly are to be respected, it can help. It can make it easier if they act respectably. Then number three, certainly not all of the elderly deserve the same respect. David spoke to Solomon before he died. He spoke to Solomon about Joab. He said, "Let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace." He spoke about Shimei. "His hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood." You take Joab, for instance. In his lifetime, Joab had done so many things, and I think was probably viewed highly by many people because of his ability as a warrior. Yet on the other hand, I think in a sense he was a thorn in David's flesh. He was a man that did things he had no business doing. In fact, he was a murderer. David was in a hard situation, especially after he had sinned with Bathsheba and so on. He may have felt as though, I have caused a murder to be committed. And of course, even Joab was involved in this situation. He may have felt as though, I cannot just have Joab executed. And so he may have felt as though his hands were tied, but I believe that Joab was, as it might be said, a thorn in his flesh. And then finally, before he died, he gave the order to Solomon about not letting his hoar head go to the grave in peace. All of the elderly are not to receive the same respect. There should be a general respect shown to the elderly. But then there are those that are faithful to the Lord. And we are to especially respect those that are faithful Christians. The Bible talks about the widows indeed. We might think about ones that had given their lives in the service of the Lord. So much of their lives been spent in the service of the Lord, praying. Things that you and I might sometimes not count as worthy as some other things. And yet, people that had given so much of their lives in service for the Lord, those that were ruling elders, those that were teaching elders, there are some people that were supposed to be highly honored, more highly honored than just the elderly in general. And so certainly I don't believe that we are to give all the elderly the same honor. But Job was a man that was a good man, a godly man. Job was a man that had such a wonderful testimony before the captivity of Satan. Job did not deserve to be dishonored the way he was. Now let me go back to that scripture in chapter number 30. Verse number 14, "They came upon me as a wide breaking in of waters. In the desolation, they rolled themselves upon me." Imagine Job saying that about young people. Young people treating him that way. Mr. Clifford Lewis gave these words, and this is a portion of a poem entitled, "Youth is on the March." Youth is on the march. On every hand we see many flags unfurled calling you and me. Youth is on the march. They're tramping to and fro. Many paths to tread. Be careful where you go. Youth is on the march, and sad will be the day if through the haunts of sin the devil leads the way. Youth is on the march. Blindly down they go to a place of sin and shame, of agony and woe. Now think about the youth and the elderly. Will the youth lift them up? Will the youth honor them? Or will the youth move against them? Will they pick them up or push them down? We live in a society which is dangerous, a dangerous society for the unborn and the elderly. Now, I realize that the young people that are here, you cannot control what everyone else does. But how will you treat the elderly? Will you lift them up or will you push them down? Will you be like a wave that lifts them, that honors them? Or will you be like a wave that just overwhelms them, overcomes them, that does not help them, but pushes them down? There needs to be a general respect for the elderly. There needs to be a special respect shown for those that are faithful Christian elders. It is from the faithful Christian elders that Titus, for instance, was to have chosen bishops. A bishop and a deacon was to have been chosen from faithful, faithful Christian elders. Now, how will we treat the elderly? As time goes on in America, and I have not looked lately, I have not looked to see the statistics, but there has been a time, the baby boomers, and there were so many elderly. And the elderly, of course, they could wield great power just because of their numbers. But what happens if the ratio changes and the elderly are in the minority? How will they be treated then? Regardless of how the nation treats the elderly, and regardless of how youth in general treat the elderly, by the grace of God, I believe it's good if young people decide, I will show a proper respect to the elderly. You take in the case of Job. It may have been a tremendous encouragement to him if a young person had come along and had spoken comfortably to him. If a young person had encouraged him, perhaps even helped him. Maybe he needed some care. Maybe he needed something brought to him. If there had been young people that had been helping him at that point, it may have really helped Job through this very hard time. But instead, the youth had come unto him like a wave, an overwhelming wave. And I understand, sometimes the youth, they may just simply be doing what their parents have done. One of the things you might remember, those of you that are younger, if Christ tarry, you'll be elderly one day. And the Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 25, I have been young, and now am old. And so you might think about how we might think about how we are treating the elderly. And then consider, if we get the same treatment, how will we be treated? What if you will, please stand.